me take care of what you're putting on. Especially if I'm going to go somewhere where I'm going to be in public. I remember one day I decided to go insurance shopping for the church, and I thought I was going to be slick, and I put on the nicest suit I could find. I mean, I was a sports suit. I thought I was styling and profiling. I went to every insurance company in Washington. They kept smiling. I thought they were smiling because I was just such an awesome businessman. And when I got to pick up my wife for lunch, she said, "Go home." I said, "I'm here to have lunch with you." She says, "You're not going with me like that. Go home." And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "You look like Clem Cadoodlehopper. Go home." And I said, "So I reckon I'm not such a big businessman." Amen. All right, brother. Brother James Spencer, you come on up here. This man here is an awesome man of God. We don't practice this if he ain't chickened out. I mean, If he hadn't decided, if he hadn't discerned, he'd play another song. I don't want you to introduce everybody.
Brother Larry Lilly, when he was pastoring, he's with us tonight. It's good to see you, Brother Larry. And it's good to see. And I'm a pastor from one of the churches there in Janesville. We're closer to Plymouth now. But they're here tonight, but Larry's going to their church now. But when he was pastoring near Oak City at Merrick's Chapel, he asked me to lead worship with the guitar. Well, I was just trying to learn the guitar. It was one of those times. I know he just hung his head and said, "Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus." But it just so happened, Brother Randy Warren happened to be there, and he bailed us out over the course of it. Randy, y'all know, can play very well. Seeing, been knowing Randy for probably 40 years. But I'm not a guitar player. 21st of this month, my wife would have passed away 5 years ago. And Alita was, as y'all know, some of y'all heard her play here before, very accomplished pianist. She played by music, she played by ear, and all I'd do is just tell her what key to go to, and she never knew what I was going to do. She just gave me a roll on the piano or whatever, and so we go from there. And I had to pick the guitar up and start trying to learn how to play it again. I never learned, really, and the Lord has helped me to come a long ways. I give Him the glory. I thank Him that tonight this song that I want to share with you has meant so much to me over the years, because when I went through what I did 5 years ago, I needed to be sheltered in the arms of God. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me through paths that I must cross. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Oh, let the storm cloud rise, though dark clouds rise, though don't worry, babe, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and all the birds shall harden me. For I sheltered in the arms of God. This last verse means a lot to me. I don't know what your view is on when Jesus is coming. Some don't believe He's coming at all. That's fine if you don't. I do believe he's coming. I don't believe 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 is there by mistake. And I don't believe 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 55 is there by mistake. And what, regardless of your view on it, soon I shall hear the call from heaven for joy. Send come home, my child. It's the last bow here, my throne. I'll have no fear, for Jesus will be beside me. Don't worry me, for I fail to take within the arms of God. He walks with me, that sword of Herschel. For I fail to arms of God. So let the storm break on, the dark cloud rise. Oh, don't worry me, for I shall stay within the arms of God. He walks with me, that door of birth shall heart free. For I shelter the arms of God.
Man looks about 10 years younger than the last time I saw him. Asking what was he doing. Oh, Sister Knox, stand up. Say something for Sister Knox. Stand up. Say, here's another pastor. Stand up. Say something for the Lord. I know. Don't try to get put on the spot. Anything you want to say? Amen. Yes. Amen. I would never do that. Would I, Brandon? Amen. That's well, you know, and if you saw me getting messed up a while ago when I first put on a bass, Daniel wore my bass today, and Daniel's substantially shorter than I am, and he likes to play it higher than I play it. So I put my bass on while I got, knocked my glasses off. I thought I was playing a fiddle, and so I took the whole time of singing to get it adjusted back. I put it on the other night to play, and I went, what in the world? And Dan looked there and said, sorry, Dad. I said, all right, praise God. Now, today we had an outstanding service, and we had an outstanding service tonight already, and we're going to have even a greater service as the time goes by. Brother Jim is an awesome man of God. I've been knowing him now since we figured out, what was it, since 98, 99. Yes, I've been knowing him for quite some time, and true man of God, and he's the same today as he was then. Amen. That's awesome. And you can't say it about everybody. So he's the same, and that's awesome. Bro, come on up here.
Amen.
Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for my dear brother. I ask you to touch him right now. Lift him up. Use him as you've already used him, Lord, but use him even more in this night. And Father, we thank you. For the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
This morning we began the message. I've got one pastor friend here. We've discussed the elements or subjects of the divine Trinity. And we were talking about the kenosis of Jesus Christ, the self-emptying of Christ. And we were using the New Testament from 26 translations along with the King James Version. And I was just going verse by verse, various translations. And I got down to verse 7 of the book of Philippians. But let me give you just a little bit of what I've seen this last 4.5 months, about 6 different states. I have been in services in the past where I've been in congregations where everybody's been healed. Everybody. Well, we had it happen, started happening. And well, here's where it started. I got near the Alabama border. You can almost hear the banjo playing. Can you shout amen? And this particular church is a fairly large church in central Tennessee, not too far from what they call the Tri-City of Tuscumbia, Florence, Alabama, Russellville. It's fairly populated, but we're just about 40 miles away. In this service that night, the power of God began to move. People started getting healed. And they were coming up to me after the service. We stood at the entrance into the church with the pastor. And people were talking about how they're getting healed out in the service. It was like this wind began to blow. And I thought, well, this must be what God is fixing to do in America. Not only in healing, but restoring people's lives where they get in right standing with God. We need that back in the house of God. People that are just playing games and acting like they're Christians, but their walk doesn't match their act. Can you shout amen? We need a new wind of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the wind of the Holy Spirit, He is blowing right now. He is falling upon all flesh. Those who let their, as they say in the South, they used to say it in California, you got to let your umbrellas down if the rain's going to fall on you. Can you shout amen? We've got too many people today that have got their umbrellas up and nothing can touch them. They've seen it all. They've experienced it all. They know it all. And you can't touch them with a 10-foot pole. Oh, I'm going to preach if you'll help me tonight. What we're talking about, and I go into the charismatic and I go into the neo-charismatic. I go into Pentecostal churches. And what I've noticed in some of them, things have become so familiar that they take for granted anything that God does, like I've seen it before, or as though God owes it to them. God doesn't owe you anything. It's all unmerited favor. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care how long you've been fasting and praying. I don't care how many degrees you've got behind you. All I can tell you is this: by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm quoting the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. Really, you got to read from verses 1 through 10 to get the context of what I'm saying. But I notice this, because of the familiarity with people saying they've had the past move of God and you can't touch them. I believe the Lord revealed to me well over a year ago, in the days of Hezekiah, while they were having a reformation under his kingship, in his days, 900 years after Moses had molded or had made the brazen serpent. And that brazen serpent was the remedy. Everybody say the remedy. God has got a remedy for every problem. It can be found in this Bible if you want to search for it. If you don't want to search for it, then you're going to miss God's remedy. And God has a remedy for every church. God's got a remedy for every problem, every sickness, every disease, every devil. Come on now. God has an answer. And it's in Jesus Christ, but it's contained in the book of books. And we find in the book of Numbers, because the church of the wilderness, which is mentioned and called that in the book of Acts, under the pastor Moses, he was a shepherd of the flock. And because they murmured and complained, oh, I'm preaching now. I better go out and find an amen because I ain't going to get one up here. Hallelujah. Because of their murmuring and complaining, because of their murmuring and complaining 10 times, God said, it's enough, Moses. And God permitted. Now, let me say this. We're saying that God sends things. No, it doesn't mean he sends sickness in the Old Testament. It doesn't mean that he causes certain things to happen. It's called the law of reciprocity, the law of sowing and reaping. It's in the old, it's in the new. And because if we don't stay under the provision of God's protection, you can lose your protection, and legally the enemy can attack you. A lot of people don't know that. They say, well, God caused it. No, you caused it. Or you opened the door, or because of your weakness, the enemy found a place to get in. It doesn't take too long for him to get in. And because they were murmuring, complaining, the Lord permitted, as it says, it were sent, he permitted these small little cobra snakes about 4 inches long and just thus so wide that it would be hidden in crevices. And they said fiery flying serpents in the book of Numbers, King James Version, and they began to bite those that murmured. And as they bit them, they injected the deadly venom nearest to what we call the poison of a cobra, and they began to die like flies being swatted down with a fly swat. And Moses began to wonder, he's a shepherd. Let me tell you something about a pastor. I am for pastors. Some preachers aren't for pastors. They're just about their own ministry. They just want you to hear about them. They want you to give to them. Let me tell you something. If you're going to a local church, you support your church. You give your tithes and offerings to your local church. Don't you steal the man of God or the woman of God's their income and send it off to somebody on television that will never visit when you're sick. Come on now. They'll prophesy you over television and over radio. You give to them, you're going to get a thousandfold return. Let me tell you, my Bible teaches true prosperity, and I talked about that this morning, begins in the house of God. When you give your tithes and offerings to the Lord, God says you're proving him, you're putting him to the test, and he's going to open the windows of heaven. It starts in the local church. It doesn't start in an auditorium somewhere. Because they were murmuring, complaining, the pastor who had already saved their neck, God wanted to wipe the whole church out. Of course, that doesn't happen today. I better get out of here. What are you talking about? Read the book of Revelations chapter 2 and 3. One church, he said, if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your candlestick. You won't be able to find. Your name won't even be, it will be wiped off the map. If this whole particular church he's talking about doesn't get back with God, I'll remove you as a candlestick's removed. That was the last words of Jesus. I think I'm going to stick with his words. And Moses, the Lord gave him a remedy or solution. The Lord told him to make a brazen serpent and to put it upon a pole. And he said, whoever would look that had bitten by these fiery flying serpents, they would be healed. And that word in the Hebrew means literally a continuous look, not just a glance. I mean, what we're having today, we're having altar services and so-called professions of faith, and they just get a glimpse of Jesus. No, if you're going to be a follower, you're going to continue looking at him. He's the author. He's the captain and the bishop of your salvation. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You just can't make a glance. That's not knowing him. Many people, what they're doing today, we're having prayers of repentance, but there's no change. And we're trying to work and change them and use all sorts of things to try to motivate people. And I'm not against motivation. You've got to be motivated. Everybody believes in some sort of motivation. You've got to make yourself get up when you don't want to get up. You've got to make yourself get up when you don't want to wash your dishes. Oh, God, better get out of here. You know what I'm talking about. But motivation in itself alone, it's good. It won't save you. You've got to repent. You've got to turn your back upon sin, and you've got to have a continuous look upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Someone ought to shout tonight. Someone ought to praise this mighty Jesus, this matchless Jesus. And they began to look at the serpents, and God began to heal them. Well, 900 years later, that move is over. 900 years approximately. This is found in 1 Kings, I believe, about chapter 7, 16, 17, 18, in that area. And the Bible tells me in the days of Hezekiah, they were worshiping the brazen serpent. Worshiping a past move of God. Of course, that doesn't happen, does it? That's exactly what's happened. That's exactly what's happened in the church. They're worshiping a past move, what God did years ago, but they're not having a current move of God. It's idolatry. And you know what they had to do? They called that brazen serpent Nehushtan. They were offering incense to it. I've been around a few folks. I've been in some churches where everybody's getting healed, and I've had some leadership come and say, well, praise God, we have healings. Well, how come all these people got healed in one service if you're having healing? They just didn't like it. They were getting uncomfortable with all those people getting healed. But I'm not going to dwell on healing tonight. I'm saying we need to get the brass serpent out of the church. We need to quit worshiping ministers, come on, worshiping past moves of God and start worshiping Jesus again. Get your eyes on Jesus and you won't sink. I'm dealing with this over and over again, traveling across the United States. People, I've talked with pastor, I've talked with other pastors. People are getting off because they're not staying with the Bible. They're going after some author. They're going after some sort of personality that everybody's oohing and gawing over. They got star eyes. And they want to have someone that they think is doing better than them. And they support them. Oh, and they get them to become wealthy. And they keep on telling you, keep on giving, you're going to get blessed. Well, how come you're not living like they are? If you quit doing, they wouldn't be so prosperous. And they might go off the air like they need to. It's the Christians that have made, come on, we've made Hollywood stars and starlets on Christian programs because we are ogling and we've got star eyes and we haven't got our eyes on Jesus. You ought to back up your local church. You ought to fast and pray and support your local church. Then God will start blessing. He'll turn things around. Someone raise your hand and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They were worshiping the brazen serpent. Well, this morning we begin to talk about the self-emptying of Jesus. And I'm going to quote again and we'll just see where we'll go. Father, bless the hearing of your word. Your word is anointed. But we need to have anointed ears to receive it into our inner man or inner woman. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And as I said, I'll be quoting from what is called the New Testament for 26 translations, along with the King James Version, published by Zonnerfin Publishing House. They no longer print these. You can get them Amazon, etc. This is my second one. A teacher friend of mine, retired, got for me in Illinois. He just happened to come across on the internet. Mine was wore out. But here's what it says in the book of Philippians, starting chapter 2, verse 5. As I said this morning, there are 1,050 commands alone in the New Testament, including the 9 commandments minus the Sabbath day commandment. This is not a suggestion. This is not an option. This is something everybody and every member and every church needs to practice. Verse 5, Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Listen to this now. And of course, the Greek I've already gave some of this morning. I don't want to read all the different translations. But literally, one is the Amplified Bible says it like this, which is an excellent scholarly work. You ought to read the heading of it, all the scholars behind the Amplified. It says it like this. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He was not exalted in his ministry. We need humility, not only in behind the pulpit. I never stay behind a pulpit too long. But we need humility in on the church pew. We need humility where we don't get exalted. That was the original sin of Lucifer. He said, I'm going to send above the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. Have you noticed the I mentality? It's all about you. Everybody's got to have a Facebook. They want everybody to know all about them. That may be good, bringing the gospel out, but it's one psychologist on Fox News. I forgot his name. A learned man, an educated man who deals with various things, a psychiatrist. He said, what we have today, we have a narcissistic, oh dear God, society where everybody wants to be known and recognized and they want to be famous. But Jesus wasn't like that. He wasn't seeking fame. He wasn't seeking to be known, and he did not walk with the mentality to be exalted and look at me. I'm God's man of faith and power. Remember years ago in California, this was a revival church, and every night I'd get up there, and this man is trying to go from the old order of the divine healing revivals of the 50s, and I'd get up there. Before he let me up there, he said, now here's God's man of faith and power. And I just got tired of it, because let me tell you, we don't need to exalt anything but Jesus Christ. We need to follow the power and faith that he gives, but we don't need to put people on a pedestal. Ministers are not the Holy Ghost, and neither are you the Holy Spirit. And he's only come to magnify Jesus. He will never exalt ministry above Jesus. His business is to magnify, to take of mine, and to show unto you. Someone ought to say hallelujah. He'll show Jesus up every time. And yes, he will cause people to honor ministries when they see Jesus in them.
That's right.
And so we find in the Word of God, literally, Paul said at one of the commands, let this attitude or the mind of Christ be in you. Verse 6, who? This is talking about his pre-existent incarnate state before he was incarnated in a physical body, which we're celebrating this month. Who, being in the form of God, talking about the dateless past, before his mother was impregnated by him as the divine person of the Trinity, before that time, it says, who existing in the form of God, who in the form of God subsisting. I like that. Through the divine nature, though the divine nature was his from the beginning. Not that Jesus had a beginning, but he began what we know as known creation. And it goes on and says in the Word of God, for he who has always been God by nature, his nature is from the first divine, Knox says. Listen to this, rest of verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not. Everybody say, I need to think like Jesus. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He did not think it was robbery to take away his divine nature, or to say that his nature was the same as the Father's. He actually saw himself on equal standing when it came to be one of the members of the Godhead. Today we have exaltation, and we have the teaching called little gods. I was dwelling on that this morning. I was blasting at it. God juniors. Have you heard that garbage? God juniors. We're going to evolve into Godship. No, Jesus didn't cause to be born again in the third chapter of St. John for us to become little gods and claim we're going to take over the world as gods. The devil's a god of this world. I hope you don't belong to that godship. Can you shout amen? Jesus has caused us to be born again through his blood, by the Spirit, and by his word, that we might be sons and daughters of God, not little gods. I don't know where they're getting that. One scripture out of Psalms that Jesus quotes in the Gospel of St. John. He said, I said that you're God to the Most High and you'll die like men. But he wasn't saying you're little gods. That word Elohim in the Hebrew just means people of leadership, or people have prominence, they have things to do under the auspices of God's government. It wasn't talking about that we have become God. We'll never become God. I thank God you're not going to become God. That means I have to worship you. And that's a pretty bad thing to do if I got to worship you. Yet people are saying that we have become gods. All you got to do is speak it and it becomes law. It's getting real quiet. You've been around them. They're exalted devils that get a hold of people that exalt themselves. You're not a little God. You're a temple of God. I've heard some liars. I'll just say it like it is. This is my last night. Can you shout amen? I think. We may have everybody doesn't get to get out of the house tonight. We may be all knocked out until tomorrow. That'd be all right with me. I've been in services like that. They're actually teaching. I've heard someone teach this. We're talking about the kenosis, the self-emptying of Christ. I'll get to it in verse 7, Lord willing. Some are teaching that we're the incarnation of God. Hogwash. It doesn't teach that we're incarnate God. It says we're temples of God, but there's a difference between being incarnated, taking on a body that you did not have as God. Only God's Son or one of the members of the Godhead was capable of taking on a human body. You did not take on a human body. You were born spirit, soul, and body. And when the Holy Spirit came inside of you, you became a temple of the Holy Spirit. But that's not God incarnation. That's not an incarnation at all. Yet some are teaching that we're incarnates. We're incarnate God. It's a form of what we call the teaching, the false doctrine of little gods. You may have a few around here. I hope this is recorded and they can hear about that because it's false. Sons and daughters of God. In fact, the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, Jesus became the captain of our salvation that he might bring many sons unto glory. We haven't got there yet, but he's trying to do it. He wants to bring us unto glory, to a glorified body. And I begin to quote, here's another doctrine they teach. I might as well just go ahead. How many of you ever been around someone that knows how to preach a shotgun message? A shotgun message means you just hit everything that you can see. Hallelujah. But you do it with love. They're the best message because then you can hit so many different things. Everybody's saying, ooh, ow, ow, ooh, ooh. But I found out one thing. When the power of God and the word hits you, it's for you to grow up and to get out what you're in. We need old-fashioned preaching like that. That's not condemnation. That's mercy. Once you can see how wicked you can become and you start realizing you need to get a little bit closer to Jesus, that's righteousness. That's not condemnation. Come on now. Hallelujah. Thank God I got an amen tonight. Hallelujah. But people are actually teaching that we're little gods and we're incarnate. We're a God incarnate. And furthermore, they're actually teaching that we have become gods. You're a God Junior, or if he has any sisters, you're God's, you're a sister God. Why, they even changed some translations. They now have a feminine God or a non-gender God. You don't dare use the word he. You might use the word shim. Can you shout amen? But how many believe we got to get some sense? Right. People are insane. They're running down a road and they don't know where they're going and they don't even know they're heading that way. I've heard people say, well, when this Godship takes over and this sons of God manifests doctrine, I've heard it for numbers of years. Heard it when I got saved in 1969 in California, manifest sons of God, quoting from the 8th chapter of Romans. And they're misquoting the word of God. They're not taking it in context. That 8th chapter talks about how the sons are going to be manifest. That's talking about the Holy Spirit within us. He's groaning. He's travailing. The whole creation is groaning and travailing until we have the manifestation of the sons of God. That was talking about when we get our bodies, they're adopted, and we take on the glorified body at the sound of the trumpet. It wasn't talking about a move on this earth where we're all going to have glorified bodies before we die. And so they're waiting for some sort of manifestation of the sons of God. But you're too late. Everybody says you're 2,000 years too late. Because John, at the apex of his ministry, 90 AD, about the time he wrote the book of Revelation, he began to write, some believe, from the Ephesian church. And he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, beloved, now, everybody say, now are we the sons of God. He didn't say little gods. Now are we the sons of God. Doesn't mean you've got complete growth and complete maturity. But one thing about it, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear. Everybody said it doth not yet appear. But when he does appear, he says, when he does appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's when we come into full sonship and daughtership, when we get our glorified bodies. And anybody teaching anything contrary to that is off from the scriptures. They're not on the foundation of the scriptures. We're sons and daughters of God, but we're looking for glorified bodies. And it will not take place until the dead come out of the graves. And when they come out, we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together to meet them in the air. Come on, raise your hands and bless his holy name. So, Jesus was the only one that was incarnate God. You're not incarnate God. You are a temple of God. Complete difference. It says, verse 6, the mid part, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Here's a Greek. Cannot not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped? Did not reckon equality with God something to be forcibly retained, because he knew he was going to have to take a body to die for our sins. And yet he did not use in the rank of Godhead a prize to be coveted. Knox says at Phillips' translation, did not cling to the prerogatives as God's equal. Wow. That's the true Christmas story. It's not just thank God for the little baby, but it's more than little baby. It's not the little baby. It's the infant 2 years later that the wise men visited. Jesus was born and he was placed in a manger. And 2 years later, the wise men showed up and he was living in Nazareth in the house. It's not the little baby. It's when he was conceived in his mother's womb by the Holy Spirit, according to Dr. Luke and Matthew. At that time, he laid aside the prerogatives of one of the members of the Godhead from eternity, and he took on human form, and the fetus and embryo and all the stages for 9 months. And I said today, was Jesus at that time, because he chose to do that for the salvation of the lost of this world, did he understand what was taking place while his mother was carrying him? Could he communicate with his father while he's in his mother's womb? You see, we don't have the record of that, except one place talks about being formed in the lower parts of the earth in Psalms, and how all our members were written in a book. Whether that was speaking of the Messiah, one thing I know, that Jesus was placed in the womb, and he was in the womb of his mother for 9 months. But at that time, all of the prerogatives of God were already laid aside before he was birthed. Wow. And when I tell you what it means, and Jesus was teaching us that we've got to be self-emptying people. Oh, I'm really preaching. You just lost a chance to give an amen. Amen. Paul said, let this attitude, this mind be in you. He emptied himself where there's nothing left except God the Holy Spirit to use him. We've got to live in that place, an equal place, where there's nothing left, nothing to show, except the shine of God within. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus, the hope of glory, being manifest through us. If they don't see Jesus through us, where are they going to see Jesus? And I have a responsibility. I have to fast. I have to pray. And I know that I have, this may be my last time to stand before the people of God or the lost. And if this is all they're going to get, what we've been manifesting, we're in major trouble. If just having, it's wonderful, and I thank God for your pastor. How many appreciate Pastor David Lent and his wife Linda and his son? Let's just give, and the church staff, let's give them a hand. He's a man of God. He's been working in my case with these texts that he sends out every day for the last 2 years. And it hits me if I'm in Oregon. It gets me in California. Sometimes I don't like what he says, and other times he's just quoting somebody else. But how many believe that we don't always need to receive things that we like? Sometimes we need to receive things that we don't like. Sometimes we need to hear messages that make us uncomfortable. We need to be around messages that cause us to kind of squirm and get nervous. You know what I'm talking about? Where we can't stay comfortable anymore. That we're living in a back alley at a dead-end place, and God brings the word to us and says, it's time to get out of there. You're sitting there and you're going to die. Why sit you there until you die? The poor leper said. God isn't going to change. We're going to have to change. And it's not easy.
That's right.
I can prove it. If you're married, your wife's been working on you for 15 years, 20 years about certain things she doesn't like, and you still don't want to hear it. God's a lot better than that. He's working on your case right now. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Just mean he loves you. And he's saying, I'm not satisfied. I've got something more for you. And I can't give you more until you get out of that infant state that you're in. He's saying that to whole churches. He says, well, we need to have one of those nice messages. Makes everybody just feel like they're nice. Have you noticed when people hear these nice messages? They don't stay nice the rest of the week until the next nice message. Have you noticed that? It's just a quick inoculation. It's some sort of psychological fix. I mean, we've got that already happening. And you can do that all day, but you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It comes by the Word of God. It comes by the anointed Word of God. It comes by anointed preaching and teaching. We need the fivefold ministry. We need pastors that preach the Word as it is. The Bible tells me, Paul told Timothy, first bishop of the church at Ephesus, he says in the 2 Timothy chapter, I believe it's chapter 4, chapter 3, he says the time would come that they would not endure sound doctrine, but they would heed to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they're turned away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But you know what Paul told Timothy? He said, be instant in season, out of season. Heard Dr. Roundy Howard Brown at his camp meeting 2 years ago. Someone paid her away for a week. That was his message every night in the camp meeting. And they would get there, I don't know, 7:30 at night. And they wouldn't get out. We would have four services a day, 3 or 4 hours a day. People coming from all over. And you go to churches now, they get wore out after half an hour service. What's the matter with you? Why don't you get straightened up? Why don't you get your life where you can receive God? They would wait upon God to have services 3 or 4 hours, 3 or 4 services a day. One service, he was just getting started to preach at 11 o'clock at night. But every night he was preaching that camp meeting, quoting that scripture, then be in some season, out of season. He was using the Amplified. This is what it literally says. When convenient and when not convenient.
That's right.
Woo, dear God.
That's right.
And I heard him make this statement. If I waited for it to be convenient, I'd never preach. Because people, why does God inconvenience people anyway? How can God inconvenience you if he is causing you to be inconvenienced by him? There's something that you need to do in your life, because God does not inconvenience anybody. He tries to convince you that his way is the right way and his is the only way. And if it bothers you what God wants to do in your life, it's time for you to own up and say, Lord, it's me and I want you to change my life. You can't change your life. Your wife can't change your life. Your church can't change your life. It takes the power of God. It takes the blood of Jesus. It takes the Word of God. And it takes true repentance. Sometimes you have to repent. One person said recently, sometimes your worst enemy is yourself, and some people don't even know it. It's the absolute truth. Have you noticed about yourself? Everywhere you go, you take yourself. Have you noticed that? I don't care where you relocate, what church you go to. When you take yourself, you take yourself. And everybody experiences you as you are, no matter how far you travel. It's you that God wants to change, because God's not going to change. Come on, raise your hand and say hallelujah.
That's right.
Listen to this now. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Twentieth century New Testament translation says it like this. Yet, speaking of Christ, this is before he was incarnate. This is what he was thinking before he was birthed in a human body. These are pre-existent in human body statements. It's powerful. This is Jesus, and Paul's getting revelation. We don't get revelation. Oh, I'm going to have to preach on that. We do not get revelation to add to the Word of God today. I know some people are teaching that. Personal prophecy now is, in some churches, is equivalent to the written Word of God or above it. They'll rather have you accept their personal prophecy than the strict Word of God, the simple Word of God. You don't need any personal prophecy. You aren't even supposed to be led by personal prophecy. I haven't found that in the New Testament. Old Testament prophets did lead people with directives because they did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit. But today, God leads by the inner witness that you already have. And if you'll take time, you'll have a green, you'll have a red light, you'll have a caution light by the witness within you. Romans chapter 8, Galatians talks about that the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Same witness you have 24/7, you'll listen, will show you exactly what you need to do 24/7 if you'll listen. He's already on the inside. You got the Urim and Thummim, the two stones and the breastplate of the high priest to take them out and be a yes or no. You've got Urim and Thummim inside of you. You'll take time to listen. One particular minister years ago knew of a man during what we call the Great Depression. We're not talking about the 1980s or 90s. We're talking about the 1920s, end of 1930, where people committed suicide because they lost everything in America. And there's one particular minister, I don't know if it was Texas. You always hear stories about Texas. Have you noticed that? Texas. You've got about 1,500 people, I think it's per week or even more, that are leaving California or moving right now to Texas. That's speaking of something. And this particular man would make investments. He never lost anything. And what he'd do was this. Before he would make any investments, he found that Jesus said, you've got to have a prayer closet. Or you got to enter into your closet and to pray. And pray in secret and your Father will reward you openly, Jesus said. He took it literally and he had a closet in his house. And before he would invest anything, and he was wealthy in his days. A millionaire in those days was a millionaire. Now, if you have $1 million, you might have about 200,000 worth of buying power. Can you shout amen? And he would get in the closet, and he would wait. He'd have business because he's a business person. But he would wait upon God. If it took up to 3 days, he'd have to get out and he'd come back in until he'd get the witness on the inside whether to invest or not. And when he would get the witness, he would do what God gave him or he wouldn't do what God gave him. And he was blessed and prosperous. And people wonder why? Because he was led not by personal prophecy. I'm going to preach a little bit right here. Some people, they have their lives messed up by personal prophecy. If I can get some hands right now, where someone's given you a personal prophecy and you're still waiting on it, and now it's 30 years later and you're still waiting on it. Get off that, come on, get off that horse. I'm going to tell you how to get things happening for your life. Believe God's word, meet the conditions, and it will come to pass every time. You don't have to wait for personal prophecy or some sort of fiat from a so-called prophet or an apostle that's trying to take over this world with the Kingdom Now message. Come on now. We're not going to conquer this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said there's few that are going to enter into the straight gate. Broad is the way. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Not everybody's going to be saved. There are going to be some people going to listen, but not everybody's going to get saved. We want to give them a chance. We don't want to preach everybody into hell either, but we want to say this, that not everybody's going to be saved. This world is not going to be conquered by subjugation. We're not going to take over this world, not yet. We will, when Jesus comes back, we come back with him. We'll come back as kings and priests. Then we're going to take over. But until then, we're subject to all these different things, these elements. And because of that, you are to be led by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit based on the written word of God. And if someone does prophesy to you, Let it always be just to confirm what God has already said. If it doesn't confirm what God has said, Larry Lilly can tell you. I've given this out on the West Coast a number of years ago before I came back and we had that tent revival. Thank you for doing that. Man, it was so quick to set it up. He had some workers. I mean, I got a tent given to me to use, and Johnny Barber, you know, had a tent at that time, and all the equipment, sound system, the platform, you know, the portable platform, the chairs, everything. No charge. And I think we went, we went from 5 days. It was October. It was cold. But before that happened, I took off for the summer in the Midwest. I went to a particular church. Brother Larry can confirm this. And this church had some sort of prophets that would come from a certain state up north. I'm not going to go any further than that. And I'm at that time, you know, I go on fast, and I usually go like 23 hours straight water and just eat one meal a day. And you go after a few weeks, you can't eat so much. You got to start eating properly because the food will just, you'll disagree all these chemicals. And you won't do that until you start getting off food, and you'll start realizing your body doesn't need this stuff. You're killing yourself. So I don't know how long I've been, you know, waiting upon God, and I know it's about time for me to eat. I'm in this particular church. And you know, when you haven't eaten, have you noticed that you can get irritable? Have you noticed that? I'm talking about fasting and praying. I'm not talking about when you haven't had your third meal for the day or the fourth and you're missing it. Your fix. And this person came up to me and tried to prophesy to me. Now, I'm just fixing to be gone for the whole summer, 4 months. Didn't come back, I think, until about October. And God was speaking to Pastor Johnny Barber while I was gone to set me up a tent. That was pretty good. I'm gone. He's going to set it up. And this person tried to read my book. You ever had them try to read your book? Well, brother, you just don't look as happy as you used to be. You must be, there's something that's bothering you. That happens. That's about every one of us. That's a word of knowledge? Come on. That's just looking at someone's facial profile. That's profiling a person. And they come up to you and try to read your body language. You can read people's body language. You do it all the time if you're in sales. I was in sales for years. You can tell when, if you're going to make a sale, if they're interested. It's just natural. I mean, you can read people, but that's not the word of knowledge. It isn't based upon, you know, inspecting someone's physique and expressions. That's not the word of knowledge. But God's people fall for it and say, well, he called me out and told me something. That's not the word of knowledge. And they'll take that. When this person called me out, and I'm hungry, I'll tell you like it is. And I'm thinking about, I need to eat. This guy's calling me out. And everything this person said to me was false. And I didn't have a nasty spirit. I just told him, I didn't do it real loud. I said, you're wrong. I mean, I got the leadership of that church upset. Well, I thought I'd go back because this was a different type of church, and I want to show them that I wasn't a bad person. And they had another prophet. Did the same thing. And I told this person that called me out that they were wrong. They were off. It didn't even match anything. It didn't even confirm anything. But he's calling other people out. Woo! And I mean, the so-called prophet got mad at me and tried to put curses on me and said I was going to lose everything. Well, he was right. I would have, but God hadn't showed up, but he did.
Come on.
People are messed up by personal prophecy. Whole churches are waiting on some word that someone prophesied years ago. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. You can believe the word of God, meet the conditions, it will come to pass every time. You don't need a prophet to lead you. You need the Holy Spirit to lead you. You don't need some apostle. Well, I'm going to preach on that. I just haven't read in the book of Acts or the Pauline epistles when it comes to the function of an apostle that they take over other churches they never started. And we've got so-called apostles. They think that they can cause you to come under their apostolic covering umbrella. You heard that term. And you've got to delegate all your authority of your church to this apostle, and you're not really covered New Testament-wise properly unless you have an apostle over you that never started your church in the first place. No, because apostles in the Bible, they started their own church, and they didn't try to pull people out of other churches to start their church, and they didn't call themselves apostles when they did that. Paul called them false apostles. Where did this all come from? Brother James, what are you doing? You must be praying for me. Him and I have discussed these things through the years. Come on, raise your hands and thank God for true leadership. You can't find anywhere. When I was in West Africa a number of years ago, this pastor was like a dictator. I mean, he was like a dictator, like a general, and everything he said had to be done. I mean, there was absolutely no mercy. You ever been to places like that? Leadership does. We need to have leaders that lead, but we don't need any dictatorship in the house of God. We can get off. Every one of us can get off. We need someone that can speak in our lives. We can all get off. We can all get off. Jesus never got off because he never got exalted. He never thought he was Mr. Somebody. Humility. Everybody say humility. He humbled himself. He made himself, here's the next verse, of no reputation. Everybody say, of no reputation. Verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation. Here's the kenosis. No reputation is the word kenosis. But he emptied himself. This is before he was birthed, or at the time of his birth. He emptied himself. It says, 120th century New Testament translation says, he impoverished himself, though he is rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. That's what it's talking about. But laid it aside, but stripped himself of his glory, but stripped himself of all privileges, amplified, and rightful dignity. Wow. Woo, dear Jesus. Emptied himself out. There's nothing left of the prerogatives of God to be manifested. Now, some are teaching today because they don't like the full gospel message, because they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost are relevant today. That was something the apostles could only receive. And because they believe in the cessation of theory that all the gifts of the Spirit ceased when the last apostle died, or about the time when Paul was getting through. And I don't want to get into some aspects there because I might get someone upset. But the gifts ceased operating, and all these supernatural elements of the Holy Spirit quit because God was merely authenticating and confirming the word that was being written down until it was complete. Once the word of God was complete, the power and the confirmation of the Holy Spirit ceased. Therefore, they say we no longer need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't need that supernatural element. If God does something, it's because he can do it as God. But we can't expect it anymore because all we have and all we need is the written word of God. That's what they're teaching. But Jesus, Old Testament, New Testament, always, God has always had a confirmed word. Always. Always. Prove it to you. Give you a New Testament. The Markan account, Mark 16:20. And they went forth everywhere, preaching the word, and God confirming the word. Everybody say, he confirms the word with signs following. One preacher said it like this. He began to seek the Lord. He's wondering why God wasn't moving in his ministry. And the Lord finally spoke to him, says, he said, Lord, why don't I have the word confirmed? He says, you're not preaching the word, you're preaching commentary. So I better get out. So he decided, I'm going to start preaching the word, get back in the word. And God started confirming the word again. Because God only confirms the word if you're preaching something that's not in the word of God, not based upon the word of God. God won't confirm it. It's an insult for him to think that he's going to do that. And someone says, well, how can I get the power of God working? Well, get something inside of it that God will work with. I'm talking about get the word of God inside of you. Get the word of God inside of you and you'll give God something to work. He's just not going to work with your spirit and your soul and your body apart from the word of God. He's always confirmed the word of God. If you want God to follow you with the signs, then you've got to get some word, the written word of God inside of you. It's going to take lodging within you. It's got to be embedded within you. It has to become a foundation in your life. And that takes time. You become a workman that rightly divides the word of truth. And some people need to get off their lazy bones. They've never read the Bible through at one time. I meet them all the time. They've never read the Bible one time. Never read it through one time. Years ago, I heard a preacher, and he had read the Bible, the New Testament, through, I think, 100 times. I said, I'm going to do that. Years ago, I started making a chart, and I'd read the Bible through, the New Testament, Old Testament. I've been doing it ever since. You know what I find? Each time I read the Bible through, it gets better. Have you noticed that? Maybe you haven't noticed it. Shows up, that's why you haven't been reading the Word of God, because it doesn't get any better until you start reading it more and more. You'll get more out of it the second time, the third time, the fourth time. You'll see things that you didn't see 15 years ago, this time that you didn't see. You weren't even in the place to see them. But now you can see, because God's Word is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It's the dunamis of God. It's the seed of God. Everything starts with God's Word. Come on, raise your hands and thank God for the inspired Word of God. One particular preacher, Assembly of God minister, I went to Assembly of God Bible College years ago, but this was a man in another state out southwest, he became Assembly of God minister. He was a Baptist minister. How many like the Baptist ministers that preach the Word of God? I've been listening to some of these Free Will Baptist preachers on radio around here. All the way down to New Bern, around there. I'm telling you, they're preaching some pretty good stuff. I'm listening to them. Free Will Baptist. They're preaching the Word. I'm listening to them on the radio. I thought, why don't the full gospel preachers preach like that? Why don't they just say it like it is? But this Baptist preacher was in a community Baptist church, and he had been healed by reading the Word of God as a Baptist boy. And he said he learned that God's Word has power. He didn't have the baptism. He was born again. But he found out, according to Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is. Everybody said, it is. It's not going to be. It is literally the dunamis of God unto salvation to everyone that believes in the message. And he found out. He started hanging around some Pentecostal people in that area. They didn't have a Pentecostal church or meeting in a house. He didn't want to get too close to the bank, because if you get too near, close to the riverbank, you can slip in. He didn't believe in that tongues business. He believed that these people loved the Lord, but he didn't believe in that tongues business. I'm finding people that used to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in churches now, they don't like this tongues business. They don't want you to give a message in tongues. Nor do they want you to interpret tongues. They don't even want you to give a personal prophecy. Maybe we've had some issues with that, where people tried to control the church. I can understand that. But those gifts, God wants them to operate in their place. All things be done decently and in order. Paul taught in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And so this man, he knew that he had received healing. And he knew that he hanged around the full gospel people. It helped him to keep his healing. You know, one thing I noticed about divine healing. If you want to get healed, I'll tell you one of the best ways to do it. Get around people that have been healed. Don't get around people that never get healed. And surely don't hang around people that are always losing all the time. They're always losing this, they're losing that. Well, the Bible says if the thief be found, let him pay double. Make him pay back sixfold. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. Don't hang around people that are always being robbed by the devil. Hang around people that know how to keep what God's given them. If God gave you something, it's worth fighting for. It's worth keeping the faith, to hold fast your faith. You're not supposed to be a loser of what God has given to you. We hung around these people that built his faith up. And as a Baptist minister, he did not practice divine healing in the services, but he would get a bottle of oil. And he'd take them to the side. He'd pray for these people. And people get instantly healed, just using the Word of God. Because he knew the Word of God was the dunamis, or the power of God unto salvation. He did not have the gifts. He did not have a special anointing to get healed. You don't have to have necessarily a gift to get people healed. If you can get people to believe God's Word will heal you. It has the potential of bringing healing to your body. He discovered that. And when he hung around the Pentecostal people in those days, in this particular state, when he go hang around for fellowship, he just didn't want those tongues. But he liked everything else except that. He noticed that when they would pray for the sick, they would get some sort of special anointing. You know, they would jerk. I do that once in a while. I'm not ashamed. I remember I went to an apostolic church years ago in Jackson, Tennessee, And I mean, I'm trying to be a nice, sedate, proper Assembly of God with a suit on. You know, I go to churches, they don't wear suits anymore. Not the churches I go to. I went to one church, he said, I'm glad you didn't wear a suit. But I'm sitting there and I'm trying to act like a dignified person, like some people might be doing tonight. You're trying to look dignified. And I'm trying to do that myself. And all of a sudden, they're praising God. Afro-American apostolic church, and the power of God began to hit me. I'm trying to sit here. I'm being jerked all over the place. God was trying to jerk the pride out of me. Some of you might need to have the pride jerked out of you. We need some holy roller services again. Well, God will cause you to start rolling and get the pride out of you. Hallelujah. Some people are so stiff. Oh, dear Jesus. If God would try to do something with you, you'll break. You're just like frozen ice. Why, some people can't even raise their hands in the house of God. They can actually walk in the house of God. And I'm not saying that you can't have breath, mints for breath and, you know, for halitosis and all that type of stuff. I mean, I just took some mouthwash. You know, I want people, when I preach, they don't smell what I just ate. But one thing about it, there's people walking to the house of God and people are raising their hands and they're sitting there like they're Mr. Cool. They've got gum in their mouth and they're just sitting there while everybody's praising God like they're better than raising their hands. Hey, let me tell you, it makes all the difference between winning the battle, raising your hands, and not raising your hands. It was a difference in Aaron and her when they lift up the hands of the man of God. And when he would raise his hands, the enemy would be defeated. When his hands would go down, Moses, because his hands and his body was wearing out, the enemy would prevail. Paul said, I would that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Come on, lift up those holy hands without wrath or doubting. You have a problem lifting up your hands? Abraham did it. The angels in the Revelations, they're going to raise their hands and you can't stop it. You might go ahead and join with them and raise your hands and start praising him. It means surrender. It means you got your antennas up to receive the waves of God's glory. So he noticed that the Pentecostals would get a special anointing and they would get healed. I see many people get healed through the gifts of healing instantly. Most of them, services that the Lord lets me in, they get healed instantly. But it's only through the gifts of healing. Because I don't really preach, you know, all the faith things they're teaching today. Some of it's good, some of it isn't. Dr. Cho says it's like eating fish. It's got bone. You got to throw the bone out and some stuff and you can get some good stuff. But there's some things you just can't swallow. They'll kill you. You know what I'm talking about? Killing God's people with a faith message. That doesn't make sense. Killing. I have a sister friend of mine in another state. And she was gung-ho for a certain faith ministry, and they have everything. I don't know how many homes they've got, and she's just giving them just gobs of money. And she ended up losing her house. She ended up in a divorce. Didn't have a car for about 3 or 4 years, and she still has a house. And she was telling me over the phone, why didn't you tell me? Well, she wouldn't listen to the first place. I would have told her that she was trying to live like she was trying to support and didn't work that way. Come on now. Just because you give to a minister doesn't mean you're going to end up rich because you don't have people giving to you like they do. They're on multimedia outlets and they've got thousands of people, but normally Christians don't live like that. Those are the exceptions. And she lost everything. She's bitter. And she's turned off by the faith message. I didn't know what to tell her. I didn't know what to tell her. And I call her, she doesn't answer anymore. Let me tell you something. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Get your eyes and get your eyes off the brazen serpent. Come on, raise your hands one more time. So this brother, he noticed that he'd get him healed just like that, just using the word of God and oil. He finally got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. About 3 years later, he noticed the Pentecost would only get him healed when a special anointing would come. He finally started getting that after the baptism. About 2 or 3 years later, this anointing started coming out and then people started getting healed, but he would get him healed regardless of any special anointing or not, he got him healed by the word of God. Isn't that awesome? They used to say this, and they're still saying it. The word works all by itself. If you'll work with the word will work with you. Woo! Woo! If you work with the Word of God, the written Word of God, notice what Jesus said. The fourth chapter, when that time of extensive abstinence from food, the devil comes to him. Jesus just quoted out of the book of Deuteronomy. I've heard crazy people today say, we don't need the Old Testament. You don't need to quote out of the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. That's what Jesus, all the Bible they had, the book of Acts. They were just using the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament written at that time, except the memories of Jesus. And they are accused of turning the world upside down, the then known world, and all they were preaching from was from the Old Testament. I mean, you can have revival from any part of the Word of God. Anything in the Word of God is game. You can preach on any subject of the Bible if you want to be knowledgeable, and you can preach it and you can teach it from Genesis to Revelation. There's no taboos. But he noticed that he got more people healed just using the Word and an oil than the ones that had a special anointing. Then when he got the anointing, he said he got a double ministry. He'd get people delivered just by believing the Word of God. When he got the special anointing, you can't make it happen. They'd get healed that way. And I'm telling you, the power of God is available to you by the Word of God. You can't make manifestations of the Holy Spirit happen just because you say it so. But one thing about it, you can say what God's Word says, and you can be what God's Word says you can be, and you can have what God's Word says if you abide in me. 1 John 15:7. And my words abide in you. Take up residence, minnow, abide, permanently dwell with you. You can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Got to close. Thank you, Pastor David, for letting me come. The fellowship we've had. I like Brother David. How many like Brother David? How many love him? Amen. Man of God. I've never had any problems with him at all. I hung around him. He'd probably step on my toes. That's all right. Some of you need to get your toes stepped on. I said this years ago. I've learned how to stay in messages that step on your toes.
That's right.
I've learned how not to receive damage. It's called the blood protection. I've learned this, literally. I've learned this. I don't know where I learned it. I just found out. Ever been on and say, well, I don't want to go back there because they just hit, they step all over me. They just hit me all over. And I want to go to a church that's a little bit more easier. I don't say you have to have a mean-spirited church. I'm not talking about that. But I've learned this. When God starts stepping on your toes and you're getting bruises and all those different things, if while that message is coming upon you and that person is preaching to you or teaching, just start pleading the blood. Say, Lord, they hit me. Forgive me. Wash me by the blood. And pretty soon, all the things that God's dealing with them about you, they'll have to change their message. Because once the blood's been applied, they can't preach on it anymore. Because God has amnesia as far as the east and the west of your former sins that you just repented of in the church. They can't preach on anymore. They'll have to move on another sin you've been doing. Can you shout amen? But you can plead the blood. When you start getting hit by the Word of God, just say, I plead the blood. Lord, don't let that preacher get too close to me. He might expose me. Forgive me right now. And you will be cleansed. And that message will have to stop because the Holy Spirit honors the applied blood. Woo-hoo! You can take Holy Ghost hard-hitting messages if you know how to use the blood. Come on, raise your hands and thank God for the blood. You don't have to be damaged by the Word. The Word is never given to damage you. Never. It may work on you. It may clip you. But it won't destroy you if you know how to honor the blood and your defects in your life, because we all have them.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I did some pretty good preaching tonight. I don't have any notes on this. This was not even pre-planned. It's all in the Word of God. Gotta close. What did Jesus empty himself of? I've got 10 things. I don't have time to quote the scriptures. When Jesus emptied himself of the prerogatives of God, what was manifested in place? I just want to give you some simple things out of the book of John. And I want to close with this. This will be about my third closure. Amen. The kenosis, the self-emptying, that's the Greek word of self-emptying of Christ. What replaced what he formerly operated in as the Logos, when he became a human being, where did he get his power to perform miracles? Modern theology is teaching today that Jesus performed these miracles as God. It's not true. He was called the Son of Man. When the Holy Spirit came on him at about the age of 30 years, according to Dr. Luke, a medical doctor, everybody believes the doctor. At that time, the miracles began. Not until. Until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, there's no record of any miracles of healing or deliverances or casting out devils. Not any record. And so Jesus, when he emptied himself out, when there's a vacuum, or where there's no longer an activity that you used to have, you've got to have something that's going to operate as a human being. He relied strictly upon the same Holy Spirit that you and I can receive. How much of the Holy Spirit can you receive? As much as you want. Since I don't have very much of the Holy Spirit in my life, well, that's your choice. Since I wish I can have more of God. How much time do you want to spend in His presence? 5-minute prayer. You're going to have a 5-minute anointing. If God even honors, I think God honors that. But we got to have quality time to stay in His presence of God. You see, in the churches a number of years ago, when I got saved in the 70s in California, Central California, they're all Bible Belt, Okies, North Carolina, all moved out to California because there's good jobs at that time. They didn't have all these regulations where you can't even, you have to have right now in Central California, I just listened to the talk radio the other day, you actually have to get a permit to burn wood chips. And you have an authorized furnace to burn wood because of all the smog, just where I used to live in Modesto area. And all the but in those days, he didn't have all that stuff. And these were all charismatic Pentecostals, the real deal. They had amount of power of God in their services. And they would have all-night prayer meetings. They would have weeks where people would be in chain, fasting and prayer in the church where fire would appear over their services. I went to a church like that. And they were winning souls. Now you can't even get people to come and show up to pray for 1 hour. How much of the Holy Spirit do you want? Jesus would spend, the Bible says, more than once. At least once it says he spent all night in prayer before he chose the 12 that he ordained to the ministry. He spent all night in prayer. It's wonderful. I lived with such a woman, my grandmother, 69 to 77. And that woman was a prayer warrior. She could quote the Word of God without memorizing like I do. She would quote whole chapters, half chapters, with her half chapters. And I mean, I learned before I went to Bible college or Christian college, I learned the Bible just listening to her talk. See, I'm not learning much Bible. Who are you hanging around? Maybe it shows up who you're hanging around. Maybe you get around people that have some sort of knowledge of God's Word. I mean, she would get under the anointing of God and she would pray. The power of God would hit her, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and she'd be groaning and screaming, and she'd be praying for people all over the world. It just kind of rubbed off on me. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
The reason why some people don't have any all-night prayer meetings in their church, they don't have anybody that does that anymore. It's a lost art. It is an art to have times of waiting upon God. Whole churches doing that. If you could get all the churches waiting upon God, maybe in one location, in just a certain area of North Carolina, and just repenting and fasting and seeking God, God would show up so greatly. You'd have people coming from the north, south, and east to west just to show up in the church with the power of God. People want the power of God. They're tired of religion. And we're not going to get rid of the religion until we get the move of God back in our churches. You don't need a miracle worker. You need the miracle worker called Jesus. Here's what Jesus took upon himself through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 10 things. He said, number one, the Son can do nothing of himself. John chapter 5, various verses. I don't want to give up the verses. He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. John chapter 5 again, verse 30. He said, I seek, number three, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father. John 5:30, 6:38. My doctrine is not mine. This is the benefit of the kenosis. What Jesus received, we can receive. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. John 7:16, chapter 8, verse 26, 38. Verse 5, point number 5. He said, I do nothing of myself. If he operated as God, as some are teaching today, what they're really trying to say is, You can't have any miracles because you're not God. He did not perform these miracles as God. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Dr. Luke says this, a medical doctor, 10th chapter of Acts, verse 38. How? Everybody say how. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. One translation is all that are harassed of the devil, for God was with him. That's how he did the miracles. He did not do them as God. He did them as the Son of Man. He had laid aside those prerogatives, and it was the Holy Spirit that operated through him that you can have operating through you in every church service. Every church service. And I know your pastor has shared with me, it's been happening. In fact, it says right over your door, God is doing it again. Can you shout amen? Got to close up. I do always those things that please him. John 8:29. I came from God, neither came I of myself. 8th chapter, 16th chapter of John. I seek not mine own glory. Same chapter. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father gave me commandment what to speak. And finally, number 10, my works are not mine, ergon, that's the Greek word. Miracles, mighty works of acts of power. My works are not mine, but the Father doeth the works. And then it says that Jesus never was authorized to use his name to cast out a devil, heal the sick. He used his Father's name. You do not have permission to use the Father's name, but you've been given the power of attorney. He gave you the name, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He gave you the name. It's been sent from heaven. It's under the earth now. It's under the skies. It's been given to you. He wants you to take up the name of Jesus. But it says of Jesus himself, of all the 10 things that I've mentioned to you out of the book of John, he says in John 5:43, I came in my Father's name. And John 10:25, the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me. You're not authorized to use the Father's name, but you can call upon the Father. You can approach him properly in the name of Jesus. He's your go-between. He's your mediator. Right. Job said he's your daysman. Can you shout amen?
That's right.
And you have to read the 14th, 15th chapter, the paraclete chapters of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has the word ask. I believe it's in all those chapters, some of my favorite chapters. The word ask, A-I-T-E-O, A-T-E-O. If you're a Greek scholar, I may be mispronouncing the Greek word. But that word ask there, asking in my name. Hitherto I ask nothing in my name. I'll say to the Father, 16th chapter, I won't pray for you, for the Father himself knows that I loved you. He said, you can approach him just like I approach him. He came to him in the Father's name. We come to the Father in the name of Jesus. You don't come to the Father in his name. You come to the Father in Jesus' name. But that word atheo is not only petitioning, but it means to require that which is due. Woo! It means demand. It's not that you can demand God. You can remind him of his promises. Many times the name of Jesus is a name of omnipotence, and it's the power of God that's above every name, where you have the ability in Jesus' name to bind principalities and powers and demons that are stopping your prayers from being answered. And people don't know today, they don't know how to take an answer to prayer. When it doesn't get answered, they say, well, you know, case it all, said all. If it happens, it happens. It doesn't happen. That's not what you do. You've got to learn to take your answer from the devil's hands, because he's the one that's stopping the withholding. No good thing he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That devil stops, and we blame God for it. No, you got to learn how to use the name of Jesus. Jesus used his Father's name in his kenosis. He relied upon the Holy Spirit, and he got results. Thank God we've got the name of the Father to approach, but it's done in the name of Jesus, and we can require and demand that which is due from the enemy. That's the true Christmas story. That's how it began. And it's still going on. Would you stand in Jesus' name? Here we are. 2,000 years since he came, and he said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, verse 1, it said, all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Everybody say, all that he began to do. Now, it didn't say he completed all of his works. As far as he was in the human body, he completed it. But all that he began to do, Now he's turned to the church so we can finish out what he started, and it's not through yet. There's people to get saved that have never been saved. There's people to be healed that have never been healed. And it's up to the church to stand up as Jesus in his attitude, empty yourself, where there's nothing but the Holy Spirit. Nothing. No personality to be magnified. No attention getters in the church. Have you noticed some people, they always want the attention to apply it upon them. If you don't give them attention, oh, they start whining, they start crying. One preacher, he had a deacon in the church. I'm not fighting deacons now. We need to have them. I believe we do. They do things that pastors don't, they shouldn't have to do. Doesn't mean that he's below that. It just means he doesn't have all the time, or she. And this deacon just got upset and was jealous because a young convert got saved in this pastor's where he was pastoring in a church. And so this deacon decided, I'm going to lay out a church and I'm going to show that he needs me. He didn't show up for about a few weeks. And this pastor was working this young convert, was taking him out to dinner to disciple a baby. Didn't even know how to put his diapers on or her diapers on. And finally he called up this deacon, the absent deacon. Oh God, I'm preaching. I'm going to have to find an amen somewhere over here. It's gotten real quiet. The absent deacon, the absent Sunday school teacher, the absent member. If they're not going to be on the membership, someone says, after 6 months, do you remove them? Or you give them another 3 months? Some churches, they keep them for a whole year and they still don't show up and they're still members. Something is wrong. I'm preaching. He called them up. Why are you even not coming to church? He said, you're taking thus and so. You're spending time with him, but you never call me up. You never visit me. What that pastor said to that deacon, that leader of this particular church, he said, you're not fit for office. He said, that man straight up became one of the best leaders in his church. Because he said, you can't be a baby anymore. It's time to take the bottle. Come on. Out of a grown up with a beard. Come on, you got to stick the bottle in their mouth. And they whine and cry they haven't grown up. And you've got to give all your attention to them. They're already saved. The converts, young converts, need the attention. You've had yours. You've had your chance. It's time to grow up, church. Come on, raise your hands and thank God. We've got to live in the kenosis of attitude that Jesus had. You got to empty yourself out that he can fill you in. Wow. Woo! There are some things the Lord's working in my life. I still think he can empty them out. You can't do it by yourself. You've been doing it, trying to do it for years. All of us have.
Yes.
With our own mentality, our own works. It takes the supernatural power of God with the Word of God.
That's right.
And God will change you. In fact, we're supposed to be changed from glory to glory. God isn't just wanting you to be changed one time. Oh, God saved me 20 years ago, but he wants to change you some more. There's some more changes he wants to do in your life. Until he does, you're not going to move anywhere except where you are. And stagnant water, you know, isn't a good place to be. You've got to get to a place where God's flowing in your life continually. That's repentance. That's waiting upon God and let him work upon you. Let him convict you. Conviction brings growth. It doesn't bring condemnation, as some are teaching. I thank God for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, in the last days, he said, the Word of God, he said, you teach it. And when you give the Word of God, Timothy, Bishop Church, First Church at Ephesus, he said, the Word of God is given for reproof, which means conviction. He was talking to the church. He said, convict the saints with the Word of God. It wasn't to cause them to live in condemnation. To reprove them means it's correcting them. It means you've got room to grow. You're not where God wants you to be, but he's honored you where you are, but he's clipping on your branch. The Lord likes to prune.
Yes.
Some of you got fruit trees. You know if you don't prune, you're not going to have any fruit very long. You've got to prune some dead things in your life.
That's
and the Father is the husband, and he's doing the pruning. And we will start growing, and we're going to bring forth much fruit. My Father is glorified when you bring forth not minimal fruit, but much fruit. Come on, raise your hands and thank God for the kenosis of Jesus as our example. Woo! Servants. Servants. Pastor, I'll do anything that needs to be done. Someone says, I saw this the other day. You give God a blank check. Some of you have seen it on the internet. And let him write in what he wants you to do. No string. Just give him a blank check. Whatever price. Do you have a blank check to give the Lord to fill out what he wants out of you? I don't dare do it. I'm afraid to do that. You'll never be used of God as you ought to be properly until you give him a blank check to your life. Father, thank you for these wonderful people. Lord, I pray that you work introspectively. All of us would realize there's more. There's more of you, but there has to be less of us. Every one of us, myself included, there's room for more of you when we get rid of ourselves. We've got to be emptying what we are, our human prerogatives, and let the prerogatives of God the Holy Spirit to take over just like Jesus did in those 10 points. It's no longer I, but Christ that lives within us. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I always try to give an invitation. Is there anybody here you say, I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Or I have strayed and I'm no longer walking as I used to, but I sure want to get back. You may be a leader of this church. That does not guarantee because you're a leader. I'm not saying anything about your leadership, but there's many people, they hold a position in the church. But their walk with God needs to be improved, to put it that way. Just because you hold a position in the church does not guarantee you're going to heaven. There's people that are ordained ministers, even under Billy Graham's, that have heard preached the gospel years and they get saved in his crusades that have been preaching the word of God for 30 years, weren't even saved. Whoa. I know what I'd do if I wasn't saved. I'd run up here and say, that's me. I want to get saved. I want to get right with God. I'm tired of committing adultery. Oh, dear God. I'm tired of being addicted to pornography. I'm tired of being an alcoholic. Oh, come on now. I'm tired of lying and gossiping and talking about people and putting people down, undermining people. I want to have a loving spirit. I want God to renew a right spirit within me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David said, then I'll teach sinners your ways and they'll be converted unto you. That's what David said. He believed you could lose the presence of God. He hadn't changed in the Bible, in the New Testament. If that's you, saints, pray. You need to make a consecration, a new dedication before this year is over, before Christmas comes. I wouldn't wait till Christmas or the new year. Forget about turning over a new leaf. We need to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. If that's you, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. And God has convicted you by the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand and say, that's me. And I want to make that dedication right now. Anybody here? Just raise that hand right now. It doesn't mean that God, doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you're honest that the Holy Spirit is working on fertile soil. My hands are going up right now. I'm one of the first ones. I want a new walk with God. I'm not satisfied staying where I am. I spend all nights in prayer, and I'm still some things in my life that need to be changed. God's working on them. Got to keep on yielding. So do you. Hallelujah. One of the things is our love walk. Loving our neighbors. Loving people of different ethnic backgrounds. Loving people of different economic backgrounds. Loving people that don't have a desirous house in your neighborhood that you can't stand what they're doing. And you put them down and talk about them because they don't have the means that you have. You don't have any business putting down God's creation regardless of who they are. Jesus died for everybody. Amen. Some people can't even go to church. They're ashamed to go to church because they don't have a nice car like someone else. Everybody has a nice car. You can go to the church. If you have a wrecked up car, they don't want you to come to church because it embarrasses them. What's the matter with you? Jesus didn't have a car. He didn't have a mule. They would provide him animals to ride on or he'd walk. He didn't have a car. Hallelujah. I'm playing with you, but I mean it too. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody's saved and everybody's satisfied with their walk. Woo! Awesome. Woo! Glory to God. Anybody here? you have any sort of regulatory, I would say, circulation, your blood vessels. We've seen just numbers of people, no feeling. I didn't tell you about this in Alabama. This happened in that church when I preached on that Tuesday night, beginning of July. It was about the 9th of July in a place called Gunnersville, Alabama, near the big Gunnersville Lake, a beautiful place. And there was a woman there that did not have feeling for 3 years and both of her right and left foot. I don't know if it's because of circulation, nerve damage. I don't know. God didn't show me. She just came up. She said she couldn't even walk because she would fall. She couldn't feel her feet. I mean, you try to walk. I've lost, you know, circulation praying or keeping your leg, you know, and you try to walk. You know what I'm talking about. And you can't hardly do that when you have just minimal feeling. She had no feeling at all. After 3 years in that one service, God healed her and all of her feeling was totally restored, left and right foot. She said she had to hold herself up just to walk because she couldn't feel her feet. You have any circulatory problem, you have blockage, you've got something wrong with your blood vessels. We've seen God heal people where their blood vessels that were protruding and their parts of their body disappeared and went back into place where God put new blood vessels in them. Anybody here, you have any sort of circulatory, you have numbing in your body. You're losing feeling in parts of your body. Come on now. How many believe God can cure you and heal you of blood vessels that are damaged? God gives something better than bypasses, better than putting these stents within you. How many believe God's got something better than stents? It's called the Holy Ghost healing power. I'm not against that. I'm just saying God's got something a whole lot better. If he's not the best doctor in town, then I want to find the best doctor. Dear Jesus! If you have any sort of circulatory condition, numbing, tingling, lack of feeling, lack of circulation in your body, you come up here right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. And continual tingling, right and left hand for 3 years since this treatment. And we're not against treatment. Many people have been through treatment. And we thank God for the medical field in America. We thank God for Christians. I'm just going to say this. Just don't let this be recorded. Just don't let get some of it as a Hindu working on you. Come on. If they're yielding to demons, you don't need them laying hands on you and cutting you open. They've got demons. At least get a Christian doctor or someone that believes in God. Don't let someone lay hands on you with a scalpel that's got devils in them and they invite devils to come in. You don't want to have someone lay hands on you like that. You better not. God can save the Hindus, but you don't need people that yield to deities and gods and they possess them and they're smart devils. They got degrees. You don't think the devil makes people, gives them the ability to get into high places of office and they're devil possessed? We've got them. We've got them in public office right now. They're highly intelligent. Intelligences live inside of them. And they're making plans to overthrow the United States. We need some Holy Ghost people back in office, in public office. Yes. You ready to get healed? There it goes. Just raise your hands right now. Woo! Yeah! In Jesus' name, restore all the faculties, Lord, that have been damaged. And let all the tingling and the feeling return in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
We wait upon you, Holy Spirit, because you're the one that does the miracles. You're the one that brings the miracles and the provision of healing that Jesus died for. Woo! Where's the tingling? Can you tell the difference? Now, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Don't feel that you're inferior. You have inferior faith. How many believe that Jesus was moved with compassion?
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Everybody stretch your hands toward, let's have compassion. Lord Jesus, heal this dear sister right now. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The cause of tingling.
The cause of tingling.
And numbing.
And numbing.
We command to be corrected.
We command
in the mighty name of Jesus.
Name.
Loose her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, thank you for creative power right now. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth in Jesus' name. Amen. We can't make manifestations take place, but one thing we can tell you to do is believe God's word, because God confirms his word. Amen. And we did what God's word says, and God's word said he would confirm that word to you if you believe it. And I believe you believe, because you wouldn't have come up if you didn't.